You don't just live in your home, you live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Ready? Okay. Give me a beach.
Beach!
Give me great food.
Tacos!
Give me adventure.
Hiking!
Give me a date night.
Sunset cruise!
Give me some smiles.
Cheese!
Give me more beaches.
Beaches!
What's that spell?
San Diego!
If you're happy and you know it, San Diego is the place to show it. Book your trip at sandiego.org. Funded in part with the City of San Diego Tourism Marketing District Assessment Funds.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Welcome to Unexplained Extra, with me, Richard McLean Smith, where for the weeks in between episodes, we look at stories and ideas that for one reason or other, didn't make it into the previous show. In the last episode, Valleys of the Uncanny, we followed the story of Alan Godfrey, from his involvement in the bizarre case of Zygmunt Adamski, to his later peculiar experiences around the town of Todmorden in Yorkshire, England. At the time, Zygmunt Adamski's death raised eyebrows in ufology circles, not so much because of the strange circumstances of it, but because he also happened to share a name with one of the most controversial figures in the history of UFO culture. George Adamski was born in Germany, 1891, but moved with his parents to the United States when he was 2 years old. In 1952, a then 60-year-old Adamski, who'd long had a fascination with esoteric ideas, hit the headlines when he claimed to have met and communicated with an alien entity known as Orthon from the planet Venus, whilst walking in the Colorado desert. Adamski later claimed that the people of Venus merely wanted to send a message of peace to the people of Earth, and that many Venusians were already living here on Earth. Despite being ridiculed by most of the UFO community, which at the time very much prided itself on scientific rigour and a strictly academic approach to the fledgling UFO phenomena, something in Adamski's story resonated with people. Without realising, George Adamski had inadvertently created the contactee movement, an entirely new facet in the culture of UFOs. Following on from Adamski's startling revelations, numerous others began claiming that they too had been contacted by alien entities, most with similar messages of peace and love, with which they wanted to enlighten the ever-fractious human race. The story of two contactees in particular make for interesting listening, with one even proving the inspiration for one of the most widely discussed psychological phenomena of recent times. It has been suggested that those who become involved in the contactee movement are drawn to it as an alternative to traditional religions. Like many people, despite being left unconvinced by the message of such religions, they remain hungry for a sense of spiritual purpose and meaning in life. In many ways, Gloria Lee was a prime candidate. Born in 1926, Lee worked for a while as an actor before becoming a flight attendant. At some point, Lee turned away from her Christian upbringing and became interested in the teachings of OASPI, a new religion centered around the book OASPI, A New Bible, written in 1882 by John Ballou Newborough. According to Lee, it all started in 1953 when she heard a voice in her head while walking through Los Angeles International Airport. As the voice persisted over the next few months, Lee ignored it until one morning, while hanging up washing outside her home in Westchester, New York, the voice told her to look up. When she did, she was startled to see a large UFO flying in a northwesterly direction away from the house. After hearing that people in nearby Redondo Beach had also apparently seen a UFO that day, she decided to engage with the voice. As Lee would later publish in her 1959 book, titled JW, Why We Are Here, by JW, a being from Jupiter, through the instrumentation of Gloria Lee, the voice supposedly belonged to an alien entity from the planet Jupiter, which she named simply JW, as the title suggests. After years of apparent communication, in September 1962, Lee travelled to Washington, D.C. to deliver a stark message to the United Nations from JW and his people, warning them that if the people of Earth didn't do more to bring about world peace, the Jupiterians would be forced to invade and establish a peace program of their own. Armed with a series of notes, apparently dictated to her by JW, which included the blueprints for a space station to help open up relations with the people from Jupiter, Lee did her best to convince the UN to listen. When Lee's efforts proved unsuccessful, she and her associate checked into a nearby hotel to plot their next move, with Lee's husband and two young children at home waiting for her to return. While in the hotel, on September 23rd, Lee received the order from JW that she should go on hunger strike until the officials at the UN took her seriously. If they didn't, they would continue with their plans to invade Earth in due course, while also promising to take Lee back to Jupiter with them in a device that she called a light elevator. Lee fasted from September 23rd until November 28th, when she became so weak and frail that her husband was forced to have her admitted into hospital. Unfortunately, the light elevator never arrived, and 4 days later, the 32-year-old Georgia Lee died from starvation.
Is there something interfering with your happiness or preventing you from achieving your goals? BetterHelp will assess your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist. Sign up today and start communicating in less than 48 hours. You'll get timely and thoughtful responses, plus you can schedule weekly video or phone sessions so you won't ever have to sit in an uncomfortable waiting room. You can also log into your account anytime to send a message to your counselor. BetterHelp is not a crisis line, nor self-help. It is professional counseling done securely online with a broad range of expertise available. And with BetterHelp's commitment to facilitating great therapeutic matches, they make it especially easy and free to change counselors to help you find the right fit. This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp, and Unexplained listeners get 10% off their first month at betterhelp.com/unexplained. That's betterhelp.com/unexplained. Join the over 1 million people taking charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced professional. BetterHelp wants you to start living a happier life today.
In December 1954, at the modest home of 54-year-old Dorothy Martin on the outskirts of Chicago, a small group of people are sat in the living room, staring enrapt as Dorothy takes another message from the beings of planet Clarion. It would begin with a tingling in her arm, followed by a sudden flash of warmth, moving from her chest, into her shoulder and down to her hand. Before she knew it, the pen in her hand would already be moving, scribbling words onto the paper, the handwriting looking just like her own, but the words coming from somewhere much further away. The group gasped at what the words spelt out. A terrible disaster was coming, said the Clarions. A mix of tidal waves and volcanoes that would destroy much of the American continent, and that would be only the beginning. Like Gloria Lee, Dorothy Martin had also been brought up a Christian before finding a purpose as one of the early figures of the Contactee movement. At some point in her 50s, she began claiming that she was in telepathic communication with an alien species from a supposed planet named Clarion, who were committed to bringing peace and enlightenment to the human race. Charles Lofthead, who worked as a staff doctor at Michigan State University, was so convinced by Dorothy's claims, he invited her to form a religious group with him to better spread the wisdom of the alien beings. The group became known as the Seekers. That December in 1954, after being informed of the impending destruction of the planet, the Seekers were also told that they at least would not have to worry, because they would be rescued by a team from the planet Clarion, who would send a spaceship to pick them up in due course. And so it was that on December 17th, the Seekers gathered again at Dorothy's home on South Coiler Avenue in Oak Park, in excited anticipation of the cosmic rescue that was due to take place at 4 p.m. that afternoon, according to Dorothy. At 10 to 4, Dorothy instructed them all to follow her into her garden, making sure to remove all bits of metal from themselves before they did, since this would be essential for the teleportation process. A short time later, the group were gathered outside together, some holding hands, while others sung soft, uplifting songs, all smiling warmly and staring up at the sky as they waited for their big moment to arrive. Then 4 p.m. turned to 1 minute past, then another minute passed. At 4:10, Dorothy hung her head in disappointment and traipsed back into the house. By 5:30 p.m, the last of the group joined her back in the living room, hurt and confused about what had just taken place. At midnight, however, Dorothy finally received word from the Clarions. There had been some confusion. They would in fact be coming right that moment instead. Once again, the Seekers flooded out into the garden in gleeful anticipation, some too nervous to ask if having metal fillings would be a problem for the transportation device. In the end, it wouldn't matter, however, as once again, the group would be left disappointed. That night, the Seekers waited in the freezing dark until 2 a.m. before accepting defeat. Later, they tried desperately to make sense of the situation. Had it all just been some kind of test of their devotion, they wondered. Then the following day, Dorothy received another message and a new date for the group's extraction from Earth. It would now be taking place on December 21st. But that day too came and went, and still the group remained very much earthbound. Then came a fourth and final instruction for the rescue. The mission would now take place at 6 p.m. on December 24th. The group was so convinced this time, they even went as far as to hold a press conference to alert the rest of the world about what was about to happen. By 5:30 p.m. on the evening of December 24th, with the Seekers gathered once again at Dorothy's home, a crowd of about 200 others, keen to witness the event for themselves, had joined them. Once again, the Seekers joined hands and sung joyous carols as the moment drew near. But yet again, the moment passed without any sign of their alien saviours. By 6:20 p.m, the group grew despondent, realising they'd been stood up once more, and together they returned, disappointed, to Dorothy's living room. In the end, neither the aliens or the predicted natural disasters arrived, which proved a trying time for Dorothy and her followers, left unsure how to balance their faith in the Clarion's promises and their failure to come to fruition. Many of the Seekers had even left their jobs, and in some cases even families, to follow Dorothy and the aliens. However, not all of the Seekers were quite so disappointed with the way things turned out, since, as it transpired, not all of the Seekers were actually Seekers at all. A handful of them were in fact psychologists from the University of Minnesota who'd infiltrated the group in order to conduct research for a study they were carrying out on religious groups and how they respond when their beliefs fail to match up with reality. In 1956, three of the researchers, Stanley Schachter, Henry Reekin, and Leon Festinger, published a book about their findings, titled When Prophecy Fails, A Social and Psychological Study of a Modern Group That Predicted the Destruction of the World. Though fascinating in its own right, the book is perhaps best known for providing the foundation for a much more famous work that was released the following year by one of its authors, Leon Festinger. Published in 1957, Festinger's A Theory of Cognitive Dissonance gave us one of the most influential ideas in psychology, as well as one of the most widely used phrases in public discourse today. In essence, Festinger's theory of cognitive dissonance attempts to understand how we respond when actual evidence contradicts our firmly held beliefs. Astonishingly, what Festinger discovered was rather than face up to the reality, people will either lean into their beliefs more, or, as he says, actively avoid situations and information which would likely increase the dissonance. In other words, do absolutely anything other than admit to themselves that what they believe is actually wrong. What is perhaps most fascinating is the possibility that this is a very natural process, potentially hardwired into us. As Festinger also said, evidence that directly contradicts our beliefs makes us uncomfortable, and it is a natural instinct to try and make it go away. In a sense, therefore, people are predisposed to comfort themselves by trying to rationalize the irrational in order to sustain the erroneous belief rather than face the discomfort of accepting it as wrong. Rather than face up to the truth that the Clarions and Martin's apparent powers of telepathy most likely didn't actually exist, the Seekers needed a better explanation for her failed prophecies. Much to their relief, they soon got it. It came in another message from the Clarions, only a few hours after they failed to show on the evening of December 24th. As they said, according to Dorothy, in the end, they had not needed to rescue the Seekers because the group had spread so much light in their devotion that God had decided the world would not be destroyed after all.
If you enjoy Unexplained and would like to help support us, you can now do so via Patreon. To receive access to ad-free episodes, just go to patreon.com/unexplainedpod to sign up. Unexplained, the book and audiobook, featuring 10 stories that have never before been covered on the show, is now available to buy worldwide. You can purchase through Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and Waterstones, among other bookstores. All elements of Unexplained, including the show's music, are produced by me, Richard McLean Smith. Please subscribe and rate the show wherever you listen to podcasts, and feel free to get in touch with any thoughts or ideas regarding the stories you've heard on the show. Perhaps you have an explanation of your own you'd like to share. You can reach us online at unexplainedpodcast.com or Twitter at unexplainedpod and Facebook at facebook.com/unexplainedpodcast.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
With the best all-inclusive vacation deals to Mexico and the Caribbean, booking your getaway with Cheap Caribbean Vacations means you have more freedom to do your deal. Whether you want to enjoy snorkeling, endless margaritas and more, or simply soak up the sun and sand in a tropical paradise, Cheap Caribbean Vacations has your deal for that. Plan and book the exact getaway you want at exactly the right price for you by using our exclusive budget beach finder, or find a featured all-inclusive package to Generations Riviera Maya Resort and do your deal at cheapcaribbean.com.
This message comes from Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, destination-focused dining, and cultural enrichment on board and on shore. And every Viking voyage is all-inclusive, with no children and no casinos. Discover more at Viking.com.